You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
Did he break up with her?
I don't know the details.
Well, you seem to know everything else.
No, I know stupid stuff, like if a DJ's going to play the music.
You are fake news.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Ray's coming up here in a moment. Did you see Darren Rovell from ESPN tweet out pictures of Bartolo Colon back in 1996, his first training camp in Cleveland, compared to his first day at Braves camp yesterday?
We talked about it before. He's put on 100 pounds.
100 pounds. An after and before pick during a career.
Who tweeted that?
Darren Rovell. We got sent it. A few people sent it to me. He's put 100 on.
How's he looking in the Braves uni? Like beefy?
Yeah, right here. I've got it for you. He looks a little thicker.
He looks all right.
He's been enjoying himself throughout his career.
Working on another family in Atlanta.
What do you think his routine will be like once he finally hangs it up? Like, what happens to Bartolo Colon when he doesn't have to pass a physical? And is his physical different than the rookie who's 22 years old?
Well, I always wonder what the physical is, because his body fat, if he had to ever take it, the manager would usually say, get out of here, like now.
Well, here's another thing. Another pick coming out of Atlanta. And this team is quickly becoming my favorite team, or the team that I have to focus on. Because Bartolo Colon is going to presumably start 33, 34 games. He's still in the National League. That means he's going to get a lot of at-bats this year, which is must-see TV. But yes. Ron Washington, who's got a history of his own in terms of some extracurricular stuff away from the ballpark. He was hired this past offseason as the third base coach in Texas, and there's a picture circulating. Freddie Freeman of the Braves, I guess, showed up early and met with Washington this morning at 7 a.m., walked into the dugout, wanted to just throw out a guess at what Washington was doing sitting there in the dugout, waiting for Stretch.
Sleeping?
Smoking a cigarette. Freddie Freeman walks in to meet the new third base coach, and the guy's sitting there at 7 a.m. in the dugout. Ronnie Washington blowing
a
dart.
He is a legend. He's got the stash. He did get himself into a little bit of trouble a few years ago.
He's had some issues away from the diamond.
He likes to have a good time.
Yes, he does. He is a fan of a good time. But imagine that, your new manager, or your new third base coach. That is an introduction at 7 a.m.
I'll never forget every airplane trip I ever got off of with Andre Kovalenko. He would run up to me because he sat in the very back of the plane on my way to the car, and he would just have this look of anxiousness. He'd be like, do you have any darts? He wanted a dart for the ride home more than any guy in life.
There are some legendary guys who like to blow darts.
Oh, yeah.
Not in today's. I honestly don't think five guys
in the league blow darts now.
I'm sure there's a couple guys, you know, during the bye week. And I thought about that yesterday. We didn't bring it up because we got off topic. But the Montreal Canadiens really got screwed out of their bye week because their coach gets fired like day one of the bye week.
Right.
And if you're Pacioretty and Gallagher, you can't be like, I'm out of here. I'm in Vegas. Like,
right.
I guess you can, but the optics of it, like, Pacioretty called into that talk. Gallagher was doing radio interviews all over the place. Like, wouldn't that kind of suck? It's almost like, I get it, it's a business. Who am I to complain? It's Therrien that really got screwed here. He's out of a gig.
But
I'm still playing.
But they're in Turks and Caicos.
But it's like, it's my bye week. I want to relax. I want to get out of here. I don't want to have to call into different shows.
There's probably guys that felt pressure to maybe have to go back early.
I think Pacioretty stayed in Montreal. I think he was in Montreal.
As a captain, you may have to. That's kind of, would that be accepted? Like, okay.
They're still in first place.
I understand that.
Like, I'll bet you the Colorado Avalanche were floating around Turks and Caicos. They're the worst team in the league. They're an embarrassment.
I know.
Speaking of them.
Are you going to? No.
You want to bring up this rumor? Do you want to add credence to it? Noodles, your vote is a no.
My vote's a no because we only deal with the insiders. That's the way I see it.
Well,
it sounds a little outlandish. I mean, they don't.
It doesn't even matter because it's not saying it's going to happen. There's a reporter out of Colorado, Adrian Dater is his name, and he's saying he's hearing chatter that Toronto could all of a sudden be in play on Landeskog or Duchesne. And now this has Joe from the Bridge all fired up and different people behind the scenes. I can't picture a deal that would make sense if Colorado's looking for defensemen. The Leafs have their forwards. They have their young forwards.
No kidding, and the Leafs are starving for defensemen.
Yeah, why would you give up assets to go and load up on a position you already have, unless it's a bigger deal or a three-way deal? I don't know, man. I can't picture the situation.
I will say this, though. If you look at teams like Minnesota, Brian, their approach, and I have torched them over the years saying, like, what are you thinking? What they've tried to do over the years is just add talent. You sign Suter, you sign Parise, you sign Pominville. You trade for Niederreiter. Like, you're just always trying to add to it, and it just worked all of a sudden. But their kind of motto was, let's just keep adding talent. And now it worked. So who knows if...
I'm not anti-talent. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for talent. But you got to pay a price to get the talent. And if you're loading up on a position where you already have a lot of talent,
right,
you got to figure out how to balance your lineup. Let's bring in Ray. And Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Kind of hypothetical Thursday-esque, Ray.
Oh, good.
We're getting close to the trade deadline, and a lot of people are focused on Colorado, right, because they're an absolute tire fire of an organization. And the belief is either Duchesne's going to get traded, maybe Landeskog will get traded, maybe both guys will get traded. And, you know, there's some people kicking tires on whether or not the Leafs would ever make sense in that. O just said, hey, if it's talent and you're adding talent, that's never a bad thing. But the focus has been on boosting the defense. So would it make sense to you? Can you reason with any idea that would surround the acquisition of Duchesne or Landeskog if you're the Maple Leafs?
Well, see, I don't think it can be just, you know, okay, so let's go add talent because there is a roof on how much you can spend. And I don't think you can ever ignore one without the other. So adding another $6 million forward it's not like they have it, but you're going to get into some big dollars with Marner and Matthews and Nylander pretty quick. You can't say, oh, well, that's down the road because you have to plan for it. That's part of your blueprint. The money's got to work. I think they're both really, really intriguing players. I don't know. I mean, depending on what you got to give up, depending how that mathematical formula all works out, because that has to work, I it would be a tough balance for me. I because you still have to spend money and lots of it on a defense that's not very good.
And more than likely have to trade a defensive piece, right? Like, everyone looks at Colorado and the presumed price is it's going to cost you a young defenseman, a high-caliber one. So
that might be the best point you've made in weeks.
Thank you.
because they want a rostered defenseman, and so the only one you can see off of this roster would be Gardner. I mean, because it's not going to be Riley, and it's not going to be Zaitsev. So it would be Gardner plus whoever their top defensive prospect is, plus the first rounder.
No, thank you.
That's where, you know, where everybody's, you know, on this snowball going downhill, and, you know, Sakic's going to trade one guy or both, and is somebody's got to pay that price, and maybe they get around to it and say, you know what, if you're Colorado, we don't have an offer that makes us want to trade either of these guys. And now we got to figure out a way to add around them. Like, they're going to get Eric Johnson back eventually. They got Tyson Berry. They got a half a dozen guys that you can say, okay, they're okay. They got hamstrung in the summer when Waugh left early. Their biggest problem is their plan is no plan. Their plan is all over the board. And that, I mean, we've seen countless teams try to survive with that, and it can't work. They've got to define what the hell they're trying to do and then go down that road and not deviate off it.
Well, and the truth is, in Toronto, I mean, people aren't focused on other forwards. They're focused on the forwards here, and specifically Mitch Marner, who left the game last night. Now, he tried to return, or he did return twice, and he ended up leaving early in the third period when they were down 4-0 at that point, and it seemed pretty obvious the game was over. So, you know, I'm leaning towards being optimistic here without any knowledge, because nothing's coming out of the Maple Leafs today. But the fact that he tried to get back out there twice, and the fact that he left when they were down 4-0 on the road and the game was over anyway, I'm hopeful it's not too bad of an injury. I mean, you've been in those situations, I'm sure. What's your read on it? And if he's out, then what?
Well, you would think that the fact that he came back meant that, you know, I'm assuming it's a shoulder, the way that he hit the boards. They do these, you know, they do the strength test basically, and if your shoulder's strong enough, it means that it's not separated or dislocated, and which of course would be a real problem. You could have a grade one separation, which is 7 to 10 days. It's basically a bruised shoulder, I think is probably the unscientific term, but like it could be something as easy as that, or as simple as that, or it could be even less, and maybe he just misses a game or two. But if it is longer term, you're going to hear this fire truck go by here. If it is longer term, I mean, they've been really lucky health-wise, incredibly lucky. And so they'd have to fill in around it. I guess that means a bigger role for Marner, or for Nylander rather, more minutes for Brown. Maybe, maybe you get a few more. Babcock had said at some point he sees Hyman playing on the power play at the net front. Maybe he works into that. I mean, there's going to be a hole of 16 or 7 of high-priority prime minutes that are going to have to be filled. And, it doesn't appear to me, who, of course, is as far from a doctor as anyone can possibly be, that this is anything long-term. I mean, the fact that he came back twice is probably as good a news as any.
Well, there's a lot of focus on Van Riemsdyk because he's really in a rut. He's not playing well. He barely played last night, especially in the third, and he was on the fourth line. And this is where, you know, it might be difficult for him, because if Marner gets injured here, or if he is injured and he misses time, people are going to circle JVR and say, okay, you got to pick up the mail here and deliver it. Yet he has thrived this year in large part because of Mitch Marner. You know, his job is pretty simple. Go to the net, Mitchell hook you up.
Yeah, it's like Phil was back.
Exactly. So,
well, don't you think, you know, it's funny, you brought up Phil there, Earl. Both JVR and Phil are not front of the bus guys. They're about six rows back guys. That's their comfort zone. That's when they're not guys that are going to tug the bus along. And when Kessel got out of Toronto and, you know, became your fourth or fifth forward, all of a sudden now he's kind of freed up. He's got different matchups. He's got less scrutiny. That's kind of where he fits. This year it's been all about the rookies, and nobody even talks about Marner or talks about JVR and Bozak, and, you know, until Kadri got hot, those guys were all really quietly going about their business. And so that to me is where JVR excels. And more scrutiny is not... more higher priority minutes or higher priority focus doesn't necessarily jive with what JVR can be.
Lots of eyes will be on the game in Edmonton tonight. Oilers taking on the Flyers, and the last time these two teams played, Brandon Manning, according to Connor McDavid, allegedly said he meant to injure him. He meant to pop his shoulder out or whatever. And McDavid was hot, man, and he was going after him during the game. He was going after him after the game. They've all said the right things, the diplomatic things, the safe things. It's all about 2 points tonight.
Right.
But I have to believe someone's got to go at Manning tonight. Don't you think?
Why
I mean,
do you think
in
that?
Edmonton,
because McDavid is on, like, he's on a different level.
It'll go nuts if it's 5-1 for one team. One team's winning 5-1. Someone will go up, whether win or loss, and say, "Okay, I'm going to beat your ass right now."
You don't think first shift or someone will go up to him and say, "Let's get it over
Both
with"?
Both of these teams are dying for points. They need the points.
Okay, but if Maroon takes them on, that's not going to affect. And Manning, it's not like this guy's Bobby Orr or something like
if
that.
If it's 5-1, Milan Lucic will kick his ass, guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Well, the only other thing I see is if they're, you know, they're three big forwards are Lucic, Maroon, and Cassian. And if there's a chance to get a real lick on them, you know they're not going to let them off the hook.
Right.
And they'll look, I think they'll look for it. But I mean, the days where, you know, it's all going to get squared up in the back alley, that's, I don't know, that stuff is long gone. But if the game stretches out one way or the other, then, you know, he better have his head on a swivel because he's going to have to fight somebody.
Well, in a lot of ways, that is the case. I mean, the game isn't what it was, but we referenced this on Monday. Andrew Shaw went right after Krug and said, "Let's just get it over with." That was old school.
I don't have a problem with that either.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're going to jump him or it's going to be. But I could see early on being like, "Let's just do it right now. Get it over with. It's got to happen because
there's different examples of it, even in recent history. Lucic ran Ryan Miller. Remember in Buffalo, they didn't really have a response that night, but then the next game, was it Gostad, I think, was waiting for him, and Lucic jumped over the boards and said, "Okay, let's go do it." I don't know if that applies here.
Well, I wonder if Manning would be the one, because remember after Cook laid out one of his stupid hits, he was one of the first. I think he jumped on the ice and said, "I know it's coming, so whoever's coming, let's just get it over with." Like, I don't know Manning enough. I don't know how he's going to react. But he seemed to be kind of lipping off a little bit today.
Well,
like,
he's not backing down.
He's
doubled
not.
Down, actually, today.
He did. He said,
he's a tough kid.
Okay,
he's
so
a tough kid.
He may step on and say, "Let's do it." Like,
but the
just
last
get
thing,
it over
I,
coming,
but yeah. The thing is Manny's going to say, "I want, give me McDavid." And McDavid's not going anywhere near him. You don't want Connor McDavid fighting.
That's not going to happen. You're right, but he knows McDavid's not fighting him. He knows that it's either Lucic, Cassian, or Maroon. Don't you think?
I would take Maroon. Out of those three, because Maroon,
I would
least,
take none of them.
I know.
I would
you're
take
right.
a pass.
You're right. I would take less than. I would finish third in any of those fights.
Yeah.
But out of those three, like Lucic would be the last guy I would choose on that list. Like he laid a licking a couple weeks ago, two nights in a row. One on Cody McLeod, and then the next night on Eglin in Calgary. Like this guy is a serious fighter. When he wants to, he just doesn't do it every night.
I do think there has to be at least the presentation of, okay, you're not allowed to run McDavid.
Right.
Like there has to at least be the presentation of it, and I don't, you know, there are people that will never understand that about our game, but that's the fact of the matter. It's just like, you know, in baseball, if one of your guys gets hit, you know, eventually somebody's going to buzz the tower.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make sense to people that don't play, or it doesn't make sense to people that haven't watched the game for 100 years and been around it, both in hockey and baseball. It's the same thing. It just, in the big picture, it probably doesn't need to be that way, but that's the way it is. And people need to know that Connor McDavid is a no-go zone.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. And we'll break it down tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Good timing. We just pulled up to the Rock right here. We're in Jersey, got Ottawa tonight. And this is really good time. This is really good timing.
Should right, be buddy. A good one.
Enjoy yourself. That should be a real barn burner
tonight.
Attaboy
Noodle should be a good one. You know it.
That's fake news.
Wrong.
Wrong.
All right, man. Enjoy it. Or try to. Yeah. Here's Ray Ferraro and Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca.
I'm doing that exact game next week. Ottawa in New Jersey again. So he's doing this week's one. I'm doing next week's.
Is there a team in the NHL that has a worse reputation when it comes to entertainment value than the New Jersey Devils? Don't they just scream
would
boredom?
Arizona?
Yeah, maybe. Arizona doesn't even really register. So I guess they would have to be considered for sure. But they're so bad, you might expect something crazy
to happen. But Jersey's been a winning organization, and it's still the years
Even
when you
Jamie
think of Jersey.
They're winning, though. It wasn't entertainment.
No,
it
but
was,
you, to
it
your
was
point,
12 shots and 1-0.
You would think
brutal.
It's you still think that Jacques Lemaire is the coach there, and you're going to get 12 shots on goal. That's what it is. And even if they're trying not to be like that, you go into that building, and it just seems like somehow they try and suck the life out of you.
Well,
one of my favorite
credit.
Things to do in the game was to take down the Devils, and they were a pretty good team.
Yeah.
They had Bobby Holik and Marty Brodeur and Scott Stevens and Niedermeyer.
Scotty Niedermeyer could still be playing today if he wanted to.
No question.
They've got an identity, you know, even with Lou leaving. I guess you got to give him credit for that. You know kind of what they're going to be.
They're so far gone from that, though.
Well, because the game has changed. You can't play that way anymore. You can't play a trapping style. You can't beat the hell out of people.
If they scored first, the game was over. If New Jersey scored first in a game, it's done.
Like, that's how they won cups.
They could drink more beers than anybody in the league because they didn't have to skate.
The Devils?
Yeah. Oh.
The system just allows you to put on
just go into the system.
Yeah.
Allow the
system. One forechecker, everyone else stand at the red line and skate backwards.
The wedge. It was the trap. That was the wedge. They would just wedge you to one side or the other, and then you dump it in. The goalie would stop it, make a direct pass, out, and Niedermeyer out, he'd skate it. It was unreal.
They won three cups.
They were good.
Can't take those away from them. We'll get into the Sanchez-Stroman situation, and could this carry over and be an issue within the clubhouse if there is a rift between the two of them? Some scary, strange news out of Pittsburgh about Darrell Revis. We'll tell you about that. And Jeannie Bouchard claiming she's going to go on a second date with that guy last night.
What about the boyfriend, though?
Well, maybe they're not together.
Maybe she's not with the guy anymore. I don't know. So we'll get into all that. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. So CBS TV out of Pittsburgh is reporting that Jets cornerback and former Pitt star Darrell Revis has been injured after getting into an altercation on the south side of Pittsburgh. His lawyer told KDKA it happened when he came home to visit family and friends this weekend, allegedly being assaulted by a group of five people.
So he got in a dust-up?
I don't know, but like, how do you get jumped? If you got jumped by five people.
That reeks of something a lot worse.
Who knows? I mean, I guess he went to hospital eventually, got some medical treatment, but I think he's okay. But I wouldn't be hanging around Pittsburgh anytime soon. See you later.
Well, there's certain areas anywhere you don't want to go, but I don't think he's innocently walking down the street mid-afternoon and gets dusted. It sounds like it could have been.
There's a backstory there? Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what everything. Everything's got a backstory.
Well, if he went to school there, I'm guessing he's from there. Obviously, he's got family and friends. Something happened. There's got to be a backstory. Yeah. So I guess we'll keep tracking that. I mean, Darrell Revis, future Hall of Famer, seems like he's okay. But you don't come across stories like that very often.
No.
Guy gets jumped by five people, allegedly.
Allegedly.
We'll get into the Stroman Sanchez stuff. We'll let you hear what Steve Phillips had to say about their relationship and how it could affect the clubhouse and the season upcoming. But Jeannie Bouchard went on that date last night with that guy on Twitter who, during the Super Bowl, tweeted at her when she said it's over, the Falcons are winning. He said, well, how about we go on a date if the Patriots come back and win this game?
Right.
And credit to her, she followed through on it. And somehow it was in New York because she was there for the SI swimsuit stuff. This guy goes to school in, like, Missouri, I think. He jumped on a bird real quick. He was fine with going to New York to meet Jeannie.
How did he get courtside seats?
Well, she did, clearly. He said that last night. Yeah, he's a student. He's probably got $50 in the bank. She hooked up everything, but she did have a security guard with her. Did you see that guy come out?
Yeah.
He looked like he had some meat on him, and he was willing to throw down if this character decided to go Buffalo Bill on Jeannie, which you knew was going to be the case, right?
Well, what if the guy did show up and he was wearing a stained T-shirt and a pair of sweatpants?
That's what I wonder. Like, he obviously sent her a pic. He changed his avatar pic because it used to be a picture of Tiger Woods. Then he threw up a pic trying to look normal, and she said that all last night. He's actually normal.
Yeah, he's normal. Is that a compliment?
That's a compliment.
Yeah. I thought that was so weird.
I don't think she'd go on a date with the guy, though, if it was like a Buffalo Bills situation.
But she's going on another one?
She said she'd be open to it, I believe, courtesy of TMZ. This is a big publicity stunt for her.
Well, because first of all, she claims she has a boyfriend anyway.
If she has a boyfriend, the boyfriend better tell her to take a laugh.
So if I'm the boyfriend, I'm like, what the hell do you think you're doing?
I know exactly what she's doing. It's a Kardashian move.
It's a Kournikova move.
It's a Kardashian move.
It's a Kournikova move.
Okay, it's one and the same. Right. We'll go back and forth all day. But, okay, she followed through on the date. Yes. I'll give her credit for that. But they didn't go to the keg or something. They didn't have a private booth somewhere. She went to a public setting where the cameras were there.
And security.
Security after the SI swimsuit comes out.
So it was just a publicity stunt.
Absolutely it was. Like, she followed through, and I'm sure the guy loved it. Hey, I get to go to New York, hang out with Jeannie Bouchard.
Yeah, like, she could have put a hat on and glasses and sat in the top row.
She wore a fur coat.
About it.
She had the fur coat routine.
She was Namath.
She was Namath in New York, but she made sure everyone knew that they were showing up. She did the interview. She's posting everything. It's a Kardashian move.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Paris Hilton move.
Yeah. And, hey, listen, not that there's anything wrong with that. No,
if she's single, good on you. If she's got a boyfriend, that's a little bit weird. If she has a boyfriend, then, like, the boyfriend should phone in and say, take a lap. You're done.
But what's he going to do? Jeannie Bouchard's going to say, listen, I got to follow through on this. This will get a lot of publicity for the SI swimsuit and for everything else I'm doing. Instagram will be blowing up. She's all over TMZ. She's all over ESPN. She's getting more publicity than she has in years. Because what she's doing on the court, what she's doing on the court isn't going to get talked about.
Yeah, it's good for her brand, I guess. Still, it's a bit weird. Like, at what point, what are you willing to do for your brand? Like, that's the thing.
This is the era we live in now. The Kardashian world. Look, Trump's in the White House.
Yeah.
Trump knows how to get his name out there. Yeah. He knows how to dig up some publicity, get people talking.
You're right.
So, you know, I think she's just playing the game in 2017. Ultimately innocent, but this is more just about blowing up the brand that is Jeannie Bouchard.
Well, she better hang on. I mean, if she's at all decent at tennis, shouldn't she be focusing on her game a little bit, or she's taking some time off?
How much time do you think she gives it? Like, what is she going to do? How much more time is she going to put in where if she can't get it back on track, she'll be like, nope, modeling.
Well, don't tennis players, I don't know the analytics of it, but it seems to me the younger, like, the wheelhouse is, what, 18 to 25? But now you're seeing
Federer. Well, you get
Federer,
like Federer,
getting,
yeah.
Yeah, you're getting.
That's the thing.
Federer's Jager. That's what he is.
The cream of the crop can play for a long time and be competitive for a long time.
Right.
Tennis is a lot like golf. People come and go.
Right.
The average player comes and goes.
Shelf life for 6 to 10 years.
Yeah, and she's still young. She's 22 years old. She's got a lot of time left. So I don't have a problem necessarily with her expanding her portfolio and getting her name out there and her brand out there. Like, how much do you think she got paid to be in the SI swimsuit? You got to pay a lot of money, I would think.
Oh, I would think. But I don't know the amount, a couple hundred grand.
That's a lot of
maybe
bank.
More, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, I don't.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's looking to do more stuff like that in the future. Like, if you're her publicist, again, you can't sell Jeannie Bouchard based on what she's doing on the court.
And you can't guarantee wins.
Well,
so you got to sell whatever else you can. Sell sex, sell celebrity.
Kardashian/Kournikova.
PA tweeting in saying that guy didn't look that happy in her Snapchats. Looked like it was all about her. Well, I mean, this guy, there's only so much he can complain about.
Welcome to the real world, pal.
Well, dude, you're a pigeon on Twitter that tweeted her and she got back to you. Like, this guy can't pretend like he's all of a sudden Brad Pitt, you know. It's a cool story, fun story.
What if they ended up hooking up and they're together?
What's the Jerry's percentage on even a second
date?
Sure, on a takedown.
Zero.
Zero. I was going to say zero on a second date.
I don't see the second date either. Because how is she going to top that? What, are you going to go back out into public again and parade this guy around?
No, I think she flies out to his school and, like, goes to, like, a keg party or something with him.
He'd feel a lot more comfortable in those surroundings.
Right? Like, she went to his, or he went to her, I guess, surroundings. Maybe she goes out to Missouri or wherever this character goes to school and takes in a frat party.
Well, he'll probably throw it out. I mean, why not, I guess. Well, he's got nothing to lose here.
Exactly.
Chris texting and saying, I've definitely complimented a guy on being normal before, especially for a blind date. Listen, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the gamble in any date is always on the female side. Like, it's always on the women's side.
Oh, dude, I've said to a girl before, you're actually normal.
You've said it?
Yes.
How do you get away with saying it?
Dude, when I first became single, I went on a few dates, and I'm like, this is nuts. Nuts.
So normal was something, like, a good thing for
That's
you?
That's what you were striving
like,
for
just
is normal?
Normal, like, I don't even know how to explain it or what the hell it even means.
But you got a sense of it.
I get the gist of it. But what I'm saying is, like, very rarely is a guy going to go on a date and be, like, fearful about what the girl's all about or what her story
really?
Is.
Right. That's my biggest fear.
About what? What, your personal safety?
No, like, just a crazy person. I don't want to...
Yeah, but that's a different story. I'm talking about, like, again, Buffalo Bill and stuff like this. Like,
but when you know you're not Buffalo Bill, you're worried that...
But she doesn't know you're not
Buffalo
Bill. Louis C.K. does a great bit on this.
Right.
That it really is truly astonishing that mankind developed into the 7 billion people that are actually alive today. Because every woman, think about being a woman and some lunatic picks you up. You've never met him before. And you're like, yeah, I'll get in your car and just drive around. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
The fact that women are like, yeah, I'll go on a date with you. Men are crazy. Men are, you know how it is.
Well, I think the opposite.
All right.
Well,
maybe you're a rare
case. Women can head down that road, but he's talking physical safety.
Exactly.
Right? I think you're talking somebody who is, you have a coffee with them and they think you're married. That's where the level of concern would be for a guy.
Right.
Is you're just, hey, I'd like to circle back and have a chat with you, maybe a coffee next week. And she wants you to meet her
parents.
Well,
there's where you get crazy. I asked somebody to go for a coffee and the response I got was, we better get to know each other before that happens. And I was thinking to myself, what the hell are you talking about?
See, that is...
What?
Yeah. Isn't that getting to know your
exactly.
somebody?
The coffee would be. But what I guess what I think maybe reading her mind here as I play amateur psychologist is, I got to make sure I know what you're all about.
But
make sure you're normal before
we even
meet for
coffee. Did the word coffee have some sort of, like, emoji behind it or something like that? Was coffee, like... Was it cryptic for, like, let's get together for coffee? Wink, wink. I don't know.
Wink, wink. Do you guys, as dumb as I am, think I would ever follow up with wink, wink?
Someone texting and
pants
saying,
pants coming off emoji?
Exactly.
Hayes is absolutely wrong. Part of the reason I don't have a girlfriend right now is because all the girls I meet are not normal.
Yeah. Thank you. What's his name? What's his name?
I think it's Jeff. Did you just text into the 10-50-50?
Yeah.
I don't know. The guy
I'm
didn't
sitting
put his
right
name.
Beside you.
He may.
Jeff, thank you. Jeff.
Well, Jeff's maybe had been down a few roads that he doesn't want to be.
It's not good,
hey,
right?
Hey, listen, any date is a gamble. It's like a trade in pro sports. You don't know what you're walking into. But just watch the Louis C.K. bit. Louis makes some very good points. Speaking of romances or bromances, do you want to hear what Steve Phillips had to say about Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez?
Yes, let's get
some Jays
that.
Fans freaking out about their relationship and whether or not they're friends anymore. Sanchez spoke about it yesterday. Why don't we hear from Sanchez first? All right, do we have the Sanchez clip from yesterday? Here's what he had to say about his past offseason and their relationship.
You guys like to take things and blow it up. You know, he was busy doing his thing. He had an arbitration case that he had to take care of. So, you know, just at a different place in our life where he was doing things and I was doing my thing. Nothing's changed. We're still teammates and it's all good.
All right. So he went down the you guys are making a bigger story out of it than it really is routine. And he did his thing. I did my thing. We're still teammates.
Fake news. That's what he came out.
Yeah, I guess Sanchez is claiming fake news. And here's what Steve Phillips had to say. He's down there in Dunedin about how this could play out if there actually is potentially some issues between these two guys.
Well, they're going to wear the same uniform this year, and you know, they're going to be in the same clubhouse and the same dugout, and they're going to pitch, you know, after each other during the course of the season. But I don't think things are all good. That seems pretty clear that two guys who were coupled together last spring training, they worked out together coming in. They were, you know, set to kind of take on the world together in the rotation for the Blue Jays last year. Somewhere during the course of the season, they split on the field, and they also split off the field. And Aaron Sanchez kind of saying, well, Marcus has got his life going on. I've got my life going on. And clearly, they've got it going on separately from this point forward. Now, it shouldn't get in the way for the team unless they let it get in the way for the team. And I suspect these two guys respect the game and respect the name on the front of the uniform too much to allow that to happen.
All right, so Steve's digging in there. And you guys can speak to the locker room dynamics.
I say two things. It's either jealousy that Sanchez kind of started dominating, became the talked about guy where it used to be Stroman, or their second option. There's only two different options. A female is involved. And there's no other. I'm being dead serious.
I haven't heard anything about females being involved. I think when Sanchez hired a new agent, for whatever reason, it felt like Stroman.
Agent has nothing to do.
But Stroman took it personally, or it felt that way anyway. Like he's tweeted out kind of cryptically, "I'm still with the guys who I came here with," or something right along those lines. When he won his arbitration case, I've never felt like Stroman is a bigger than life personality. I've never felt like Sanchez shares that personality. No. I've never had that impression. I feel like Sanchez just wants to go out there and do his work and become a superstar and get paid. And not worry about Instagram and everything else.
Marcus Stroman, every day it's like him against the world, and every tweet it's like I'm battling. Nobody's
got small
I could
man
be
syndrome.
Here.
That's what it is.
That's what motivates him though. Like
it's ridiculous.
It didn't work necessarily for him last year because he didn't have a great year. Worked very well the year before when he stormed back from ACL injury, but I don't think this is going to be an issue because these guys as starting pitchers literally are never on the same field at the same time.
Right.
Literally are never connecting while the game is actually on.
They'll see each other on the flights and in the dugout or
exactly
in the clubhouse.
And they're too young to own the clubhouse anyway and let it spread into being an issue. Jason Grilly's still in the clubhouse. Marco Estrada, Jay Happ, Russell Martin. These guys are all in their 30s.
Tulowitzki,
Donaldson, Bautista's back. Stroman and Sanchez, if there is an issue, and if there's some sort of beef here, whatever it might be or why it was spawned.
What could be the issue besides what I just talked to you about?
I don't know.
They're both young guys, living the dream, making money. It's either jealousy or there's a female involved.
Okay, let's just presume that that's the case. I don't think it's going to fester to the point where we're going to hear stories about how there's separation in the clubhouse, yeah, and Sanchez is over here with some guys. And
no,
Stroman,
the older guys will just say, "You guys, you pigeons, take care of this because it's nonsense."
Exactly. Like Jason Grilly will look at these two and say, "I'm the combined age of you two."
Yeah. And
shut
furthermore,
up.
I'm not answering one more question about you two. So either figure it out or act like you like each other because I'm not dealing with it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good point.
This is not TMZ. This is Major League Baseball. So figure it out.
And because of their positions in the sport. I think it'd be different if you were defense partners. If this was a center and a quarterback
who
had issues.
Can you imagine if these guys were a second base and a shortstop where they're turning double plays all the time?
Maybe it would be an issue. Maybe I would concern myself a little bit more with it.
They're on the mound at different days, different times.
They're literally never on the field at the same time. There will not be any issues when they're actually out there pitching. I just don't see it. So I'm not that concerned.
Post-game handshake, that's it.
So anyway, Dirk Hayhurst will join us in about 25 minutes. We'll get Dirk's take on that as a pitcher, as a guy in the room. We'll test your theory out with Dirk.
One of the two.
I tend to agree. I think it's something petty. I don't think it's that. I think their personalities seem to be, again, from the outside, very different.
That's the way I see it, too, which is fine. I mean, that's what pro sport, that's what life is. Every business, you deal with people from different backgrounds that have different approaches and different.
As long as you can work within a team setting, who cares? That's what I say. Who cares? As long as they can function in a team setting and it's not that disruptive. And if it is disruptive and they have a fist fight in the...
We all play with guys we don't like. It's just you don't hang out with them after the game's over. Very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple. You go out there and do your job, and we both committed to the same goal. That's all we can do. We don't have to like each other. We don't have to hang out together. We just have to
coexist.
Coexist towards the common goal, which is the team's best interest. The other nonsense, it's a non-factor.
Kyle texting and saying, I had a girl on the first date sniff my nose, saying she wanted to breathe my air.
Yeah, that's a...
At least it wasn't as...
Dirk Hayhurst and the Insiders in studio. Mackenzie, Dreger. This is Overdrive. TSN 1050. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. On Friday, call in with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on Montreal next Saturday night, February 25th, down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Leafs who were on the roster the last time they actually beat the Canadiens, which was back on January 18th, 2014. That is an astonishing stat. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day, Nikolai Kuhlman, who's still kicking around the league. I mean, he's worked out a pretty good career.
Yeah, but he's one good season, not
but
bad.
But he's exactly what he was, though. He had one 30-goal season where people thought he was a 30-goal scorer.
What's he making, $3.5 million? I think he's $3.5 million, $4 million.
Probably in that range.
Might be
probably
four.
Three.
I just wish I could have played 10 years and scored 10 goals a year and made $4 million. I had to score 4-0.
Yeah, he's making 4-2-5 right now. And next year, the salary, actual cash, 5-2-5. He's got another year
after signed
this.
That deal. I think Grabowski went over there, too.
Where the hell is that guy?
Injured.
Yeah, he's been injured.
Long-term injury.
He's had concussion problems.
But that's the thing. Do you remember the arguments about these players? Grabowski, the greatest.
I know.
But this is the difference. Like, is anybody calling for James Reimer anymore? Because
no.
You have a starting goaltender now in Frederik Andersen. But you fall in love with some of the players. I remember these massive arguments that Grabowski is I know the analytics guys loved him. He's this, he's that. He was a solid player. Kuhlman was a solid player who was probably closer to a 12-goal scorer than he was 30. But in this market, you didn't have that extra-level talent. Like, now you're seeing it in Matthews and Marner and Andersen proving that he can be a starter. And you look back and say, man, I used to have arguments about, free this player.
Let's
free
just
that
say
player.
That Shanny did the right thing and the whole unit as a group needed to be moved out.
Exactly.
And he did a pretty damn good job of getting the whole unit out.
Actually, we haven't mentioned this, but I guess on Saturday they're going to unveil some new members of Legends Row. I don't know how many, but...
Dougie, Wendell?
I would think Gilmore, Clark. I don't think Mihaljevic is up there yet. He should be up there, I would think.
Tux?
Tux? As much. Stop it. I love Darcy Tucker, but he's not going on that Legends Row.
He's going on the Legends Row. He may not be one of the
initial... This guy thinks Darcy Tucker's going on Legends Row.
At some point.
You know, I'm not going to comment on this. You know, I'm biased.
I love the guy. He's one of my brothers. He's not going on that row. I'll build my own. I'll pay a guy to $100,000 to build my own, and I'll drop it off at midnight.
Look at you. You guys pounce on me because my Wendell takes and different takes. Your boy might be in the running for a Legends Row spot,
hey,
and you're going to go Sanchez Stroman on
him. I'll attend the ceremony, and I'll fake clap, and I'll act like I'm happy. But deep down, I'll say, this is a farce.
What about Kaber?
Same thing.
Yeah, that's not happening. I mean, listen.
Old ugly face is not getting on that Legends Row.
Kennedy, Sittler, Bauer, Solming, Armstrong, yeah. App, Sundin, Keon, Broda, Horton.
All
those are the guys
deserving.
Who have been up there already. I think Mihaljevic, I think Wendell, I think Gilmore. I'm sure there's others I'm not thinking of
if
right
Brian
now.
If Brian McCabe gets on Legends Row, I will get those Billy Bob teeth and I will glue them to his face.
Wendell deserves to be up
Wendell
there.
Wendell deserves
and
to be
Dougie
there.
Too.
And Dougie.
Dougie for sure.
All right, Dirk Hayhurst and the Insiders, Mackenzie and Dreger in studio in the final hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.